Mind Food Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh and Ben Starr.
And now on the line we've got Erica Leonard joining us. How are you, Erica?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Hi, Erica. Now, you are a fellow at the APS, the Australian Psychological Society.
Yes.
And you've specialised and do a lot of work in and around drink, I guess, in terms of people suffering alcoholism. Is that correct?
One of quite a few areas that I work in, yes.
And many of the available counselling and detox programs are far too short and effective. Is that right?
I don't want to be unfair to them. They often offer some ongoing counselling beyond the residential time of treatment. But I still think even when they do that, they don't quite get the full treatment that's needed.
And do you think that it's really because not much focus is paid, I guess, to people's purchasing and drinking behaviour, that, you know, they go half of the way, but they don't really encompass the entire picture?
Yes, there's a slight tendency, I think, to look for deep and meaningful issues, which may be all very relevant and need attention, as to, you know, traumas or things which the person is trying to block out of their thinking or whatever problems that they have. But I don't think that attending to those problems is enough. And I think we found in psychology that if you don't attend to the actual behaviour itself, then sorting out the emotional problems won't actually get rid of the behaviour that you're not happy with.
How does someone, though, find that personal motivation, I guess, in mixing with society as a non-drinker?
Yes, I think that's an area that's really difficult for many people, and it's something which needs to be addressed in a different way to the way that it has been looked at. I think that the general community do have a bit of a negative image, and they sometimes refer to non-drinkers as teetotalers or wowsers in a slightly pejorative way.
Yep.
And I think that people who are going to change to not consuming alcohol need to be able to put a very positive light on their social image and their behaviour, and also to give less rather than more attention to it.
I guess it's that same thing, though. It comes back to the individual, doesn't it? It comes back to, you know, their own reason why to give up drinking, and
yes,
also to set their own individual goal.
Well, that's right. And I think sometimes the positive goals aren't defined enough. There's so much emphasis on giving up drinking. No one will give up something that they like.
Yeah.
They need to like something even more. So, for example, right at the moment we're looking at a lot of elite sports people.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those give up junk food and late-night socialising in order to train really hard, because what they want even more is to do terribly well in their sport. Now,
yeah,
each person who's thinking that they have reasons that they really should be not consuming alcohol, they need to find something they do want to do.
Mm. Now, you're suggesting 40% of society drink at dangerous levels.
Yes, I think we do have evidence of that now with these statistics on how much alcohol is consumed across our society, and the evidence on how many people drink on certain days and so on. And the total has to add up to too much.
It's pretty scary, though, Erica. Every weekend you can walk through any city, doesn't matter where you are in the world, and you can see what alcohol's doing to people. And is it because it's so readily available and so cheap?
The reasons why societies haven't sort of cut down on alcohol is because a large proportion of people do want to use the drug, and because the USA tried to have prohibition and it failed.
Mm.
And so people have to actually want something more than they want the alcohol.
Well, Erica Leonard, thank you very much for joining us on today's Mind Food. Very insightful information there. And of course, for more details, you can jump onto mindfood.com. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.